You're listening to the Arsenal for Democracy, forging and preparing a new generation for leadership. Now, here's your host, Bill Humphrey.
For 91.3 FM WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark in the great state of Delaware, I'm Bill Humphrey, and thanks for listening. I'm coming to you on July 6, 2014 from my studio in Newton, Massachusetts. This week, Persephone debates me on NSA surveillance overseas and discusses a student 26th Amendment challenge to voter IDs. Then, Sasha joins me to discuss the Hobby Lobby ruling. All that is coming up right now. Arsenal for Democracy is usually recorded in studio every Sunday and is available for download on Wednesdays at arsenalfordemocracy.com and from iTunes. We air the show in Delaware on 91.3 FM and stream it from wvud.org on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at AFD Radio or like us on Facebook. This is the Arsenal for Democracy. You're listening to Arsenal for Democracy. I'm your host, Bill Humphrey. Joining me on the line from Belgium is Persephone. Persephone, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bill.
Persephone, we're going to talk first about the NSA and their various surveillance activities around the world. Obviously, a lot of the revelations since about a year ago when Edward Snowden started releasing various documents had initially focused on the surveillance within the United States or on random foreign citizens, you know, vacuuming up 70 million French phone calls in a month, you know, a 30-day period or so, things like that, that probably didn't have a lot of intelligence value and were targeting just ordinary people. Then the revelations started getting into things like the spying on German Chancellor Angela Merkel's cell phone, stuff like that. And those type of revelations are continuing to roll out periodically because Snowden and Glenn Greenwald and all the folks that were working with him tend to be opposed to the U.S. kind of security apparatus in all its forms and in all its targets. And I think that there's some merit to the points that they oppose, but then there's some things where I start to question it. And this is one of the areas where I'm starting to have some questions. So, for example, there was a NDTV article, this is from an Indian media outlet, after the recent elections in India, they said that the United States has hoped its National Security Agency surveillance on the BJP, revelation of which has highly been objected to by New Delhi, would not have an adverse impact on the bilateral relationship between the two countries. And the BJP, which is now the ruling party but had been the opposition party since the early 2000s, was in a list along with, according to this article, foreign political parties including Lebanon's Amal, the Bolivarian Continental Coordinator of Venezuela, Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood, Egyptian National Salvation Front, and the Pakistan People's Party. Now, I think that it's worth noting that the new Prime Minister of India, who is from the BJP, was on a travel ban list by the U.S. State Department, and the BJP has some very extremist elements. They now are the majority party in the country, or the ruling party in the country, but that doesn't really negate some of the activities that they had gotten up to when they were last in power and then in their opposition period since then. And Prime Minister Modi, the reason that he was on a travel ban list was because he was alleged to have, as governor of the state of Gujarat, or chief minister, but that's the equivalent of governor, he had been in office when there was a major anti-Muslim riot that happened. And there was a lot of media broadcasts telling, you know, Hindu nationalists who tend to gravitate toward the BJP that they should go out and kill Muslims. And I think there were at least several hundred, maybe thousand. I think the numbers were a little bit fuzzy, but Muslims were killed. And there were allegations that he was maybe involved in this. Now, official inquiries cleared him of involvement, but he seemed pretty unapologetic about the whole thing and just was like, well, I think I should have managed the media situation a little bit better, you know, but he was accused of incitement. So the State Department had put him on a watch list and said that he couldn't get visas to come into the United States. So that's kind of a background on who the BJP is, but they just won these huge elections and now he's the prime minister. So the State Department's had to relax that. But now the State Department's having to defend themselves against these allegations that the BJP was spied on by the NSA. So the issue here is some of those parties like the Muslim Brotherhood, which we've also worked with from time to time in recent years and then basically turned on as soon as the coup happened a year ago in Egypt. Some of these parties, probably including the BJP as well, are not exactly friends with the United States. it's not like we're spying on Chancellor Merkel in Germany or something like that. These are not people that we were necessarily friends with. They weren't automatically enemies, but they were not our close allies. And so the question becomes, should these things be getting leaked? I mean, what's the legitimate interest in leaking this? What's the public benefit that, you know, because they say, oh, well, the public deserves to know. I mean, does the public need to know about this? Is it reprehensible for us to be spying? Persephone, what were your thoughts on this targeting of foreign parties?
Well, first of all, I think that it is important to acknowledge that, of course, you know, spying happens. Countries spy on each other all the time. Diplomacy is essentially, I mean, a lot of the time you see like diplomats that use their position to get more information about other countries. So in the grand scheme of diplomacy and international relations, the only thing that's new about this is the depth of it and the depth of the technology used. So I don't think that is something to be surprised by, although people can certainly be shocked by it. They can certainly think that it's wrong to spy at this level. But I think that it's important to recognize that a lot of these parties are going to mobilize the public discontent with all this NSA stuff. The fact that a lot of people are being spied on, not politicians, not people who are engaged in anything wrong, just ordinary people are being spied on. And so people are really, really angry at the United States. So I think that a lot of people who might not normally side with, you know, the BJP, the Muslim Brotherhood, etc., are still going to be very upset by this because a lot of what the NSA has done is absolutely outrageous. In terms of does the public have a right to know? I think that they do have a right to know. I think that if this information is being leaked, I don't really have a problem with that. I can understand objections to it, but honestly, first of all, this isn't anything, as I said before, this isn't something people should be surprised about, and it's good to have some level of transparency. Now, I suspect you disagree with me on this particular issue, but that's just how I feel about it.
Right. Well, as I sort of alluded to earlier, I think you can divide the NSA surveillance targets into four categories: U.S. citizens, regular foreign citizens, foreign governments that we're allied with, and foreign governments or political parties that we're not allied with. And if it's spying on U.S. citizens, I think that that's supposed to be not allowed. So there's a legitimate interest in the public knowing that. If it's average foreign citizens, you know, not people, terrorists or whatever, but just millions and millions of people who are just minding their own business and aren't connected to the government or anything, that's also something that I think should be stopped and also that the public should be aware of. Obviously, the reason that they're leaking the stuff about spying on our allied governments is just to embarrass the United States. That, I'm not sure it matters one way or the other how much public disclosure there is, but probably we could just be working more cooperatively with those governments to get the same information and not be, I mean, we don't need to be wiretapping the German Chancellor's phone. That's really silly. And then the fourth category, which is this newest set of leaks, which are the non-allied foreign governments and political parties. And as you say, yeah, there's a risk that these revelations are going to be used to whip up anti-American sentiment and things like that. Yeah, that's a risk. And I think that's the motivation for the people leaking this. I don't think that there is a legitimate public interest in being made aware of these things because, like you said, I mean, every country or every state has been spying since before there were even, you know, the modern Westphalian concept of nation states existed and state sovereignty and stuff. The, you know, all the little Italian city states and that kind of thing in the Middle Ages and the Renaissance era were busy sending quote unquote ambassadors to each other who were really spies. And even into the Cold War and presumably to present, a lot of times embassies in foreign countries, and this is not just the US doing this, have functioned as espionage HQ for the spy operations within a country. What is the purpose of gathering this intelligence on these specific political parties? In with something like the BJP, where they're not explicitly a terrorist organization or something, they're a legitimate, if potentially somewhat extreme, mainstream party who now is in charge of India. I mean, don't we want to have intelligence on who they are, what they're about, find out whether they are in fact really extreme or more moderate. I mean, same with the Muslim Brotherhood. Don't we want to know whether they're actually extremists or moderate partner that we can reasonably work with? Isn't that a legitimate thing to be trying to gather intelligence on? The assumption that's being made by the leaker seems to be the US is evil. The US is only doing these things out of some evil security state obsession, and there's no legitimate purpose for this espionage. And this is something that's been criticized before. I'm not the first person to bring this up, obviously, but is what is their motivation for releasing some of this stuff? It went from the people have a right to know that they're being spied on to let's just embarrass the United States and make it harder for them to collect intelligence and harder for them to do their jobs. Why do we want the U.S. to be operating blind in these things? Isn't situations like, you know, the mistaken invasion of Iraq, and mistake is a kind of a bad word choice there. I mean, it was a deliberate kind of misconstruing of the evidence, but disastrous decisions repeatedly taken by the United States aren't purely just by ignoring intelligence. Sometimes it's just not having intelligence or knowing what to do with it or having the context. This is the kind of thing that establishes context. This is how we know whether a party is an extremist party that we can't work with or a party that we should be trying to work with. And that's the kind of thing that worries me about these revelations is it's like, okay, well, now you're just trying to embarrass the United States, but there's no other objective. And it's not like the United States is going to stop. I mean, one of the things that Persephone was kind of commenting to me before we started recording was that in this article, they kind of hedged, the State Department hedged on whether or not they had promised not to spy on the BJP or the Indian government anymore. I mean, they're never going to make that commitment. And frankly, we're not going to stop spying because we have to get the information somehow so we know what's going on. Otherwise, we're operating in the dark and we're more likely to make catastrophic foreign policy decisions. It's not going to eliminate them by any means. Sometimes we get bad information and go from there. We had plenty of spying happening during the Cold War and made a lot of bad calls then as well. But it's not going to help the situation to dial back our intelligence gathering, I don't think.
But I don't think it's about getting the U.S. to necessarily dial back. I think that what this is really about is information. And I mean, you can buy into that rhetoric or not. Like, as you said, you know, do people really have a need to know this? But I think that there are lots of ways you can interpret this information. You can use it to look at the absences, for instance, look at who it has not been revealed, whether we're spying on. You can also figure out who the biggest priorities are for the U.S. And I think it's useful information to sort of figure out what the priorities are of the United States. I don't think that it necessarily has to be about embarrassing the United States. And, you know, as many of the people that support this kind of NSA style initiative would say, you don't have anything to be worried about if you're not doing anything wrong. So there's that.
I mean, yeah, but you know, I don't buy that argument because I think that somebody had recently, I saw this on Twitter or something, had put it, you know, that just because I value my privacy doesn't mean I have anything to hide. There's a difference between being secretive and wanting to maintain privacy. And I think that's, you know, that's a legitimate viewpoint to take. And it's probably one that I take myself. But I don't understand why do we need to know who's being spied on or to what degree different countries are being spied on. I assume that we're spying on most countries, if not all countries. Did I need to know the specifics? Not necessarily. And it has hurt a lot of our relations. I mean, for example, there were the attempts to hack the phones of the governments, I think it was like cabinet officials in Indonesia. And some of that was actually being undertaken by the Australians, but it was through the Five Eyes program, which was the intelligence sharing with the United States, Britain, Australia, and Canada, and one other country that I'm forgetting at the moment. And this affected relations between the US and Indonesia, and it affected with Australia as well. I know there was some trips canceled between Australia dignitaries and the Indonesian officials. And you could make the argument, oh, well, then don't spy on them if you don't want, but don't we want to have information? Like, I'd like to have information on what's going on in Saudi Arabia and the government there, which is nominally our ally, and I don't probably think should be our ally, but I'd like to know what's going on within the government there. I'd like to be aware of these, you know, potential changes in government in these various countries.
But the information isn't getting back to you necessarily.
No,
not me personally.
I don't personally need it, but the U.S. government, I believe, when I say we, I think the United States should be aware of these things.
It certainly should, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there should be any denial about the realities of modern espionage.
Well, but see, the United States isn't saying we don't spy and then being caught that they do. It's that they're now being forced to admit, or it's being leaked specifically, which exact people are being spied on, which parties, which leaders of governments, which governments in general are being spied on. And like you said, that allows some of these less savory people to use that against the United States and whip up support. But it also just means that it's probably a little bit harder to spy on them because, you know, if they find out, oh, I'm being spied on, then they're going to go dump their phones and things like that. I don't really understand what the public information globally or to the U.S. citizenry value is of having this knowledge of the exact targeting. I mean, essentially what's happening is the metadata is being released to the public of who's being targeted. And it's like, why do we need to know that? But that is going to disrupt U.S. espionage operations.
Right. But I think that to the level, you know, for instance, we've heard about the Muslim Brotherhood, we've heard about, you know, some other groups, but I mean, there's this absence, you know, who are we spying on in Israel? Who are we spying on, you know, in other countries, you know, and I think it reveals interesting information about who is deemed less important and less of a priority, because I mean, the things that are being leaked, theoretically, although we can't be sure, are also theoretically the things that are getting the most traction.
Well, but see, I don't think that's necessarily accurate because this is not a public entity that's leaking this information. This is not like a U.S. senator who's giving away all the details, you know, reading the Pentagon Papers into the record, you know, in the modern version of that. This is just a group that specifically has Snowden and Greenwald both are known to want to embarrass the United States and have sort of a vigilante attitude to like what the U.S. should and should not be doing, which they've unilaterally decided. These are the things that are acceptable and these are the things that are not acceptable. And the vast majority of the things fall in the not acceptable camp in their eyes. And again, certain things that they've leaked, like the U.S. surveillance, you know, on U.S. citizens and surveillance of foreign citizens who aren't connected to any potential targets, those are things that I think the public should be aware of. I think those practices should be stopped. But some of these other things, it's like, well, you know, who cares? Like, it's going to cause a harm to give out the information, but we're not really getting any benefit to having the information, especially because it's not going to stop it. It's just going to force them to get more creative about it. Yeah, let's criticize drone strikes and things like that. But why are we going to fly off the handle about spying on the Muslim Brotherhood or whatever, even when we're sometimes working with the Muslim Brotherhood? I just think that it's a complicated situation, but I don't see the value of why do we need to be aware of this?
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see if it does develop in a positive light or whether it will be purely just negative consequences and, like you said, embarrassment.
Right. And I think it would be different, maybe at least a little bit, if they released like a full list, but they're just piecemeal saying, oh, hey, we have all these documents and we're just going to keep getting ourselves in the news cycle by waiting like 4 to 6 weeks and then dumping another set of documents. And we're going to release bits and pieces, drips and drops, not at all releasing the full list. This is just them selectively saying, oh, you have a good relationship with India? It'd be a shame if something happened to that. Boom, the new government? Yeah, you spied on their party for years. It's like who appointed them to make the decision about what stuff should be released?
You just see it as a power trip, basically.
Yeah, essentially. They've strayed very far away from the original claims of the people need to know into, yeah, I don't like the U.S.'s whole war on terror operations, which I don't like a lot of it either, but this probably predates that. And we're not going to stop. It's just going to make it harder.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, well, Arsenal for Democracy will be right back in just a moment.